Welcome to All the Things with Kristen Schindler. We all have things. Doesn't matter if we're married or single, if we have no children, or if we have 10. Things in life can be overwhelming, and sometimes we just don't know how to navigate them. So each week, you're going to hear stories of hope, of inspiration, and of people navigating the same things that you and I deal with day in and day out. Their stories may sound different than ours, or they may sound just like us. Either way, each week this podcast is going to pour into your heart with hope and encouragement. We are so glad that you are here. Welcome back, friends, to another episode of All the Things with Kristen Schindler. And I have to tell you, I'm so excited for my guest, White Dove Gannon, to join us today. She's been hopping around a lot of people's podcasts, and in the podcast world, when you know other podcasters, I'm like, oh, White Dove, you're there. So I'm so excited to have you with me today on my podcast. So White Dove is a business development mentor. She's a mom. She's a strategist. She's a speaker. You're a podcast host of your own, and your podcast, we'll talk about that a little bit later, is for entrepreneurs and business owners, the ones that are determined to defy the status quo. They want to control their life. They want to build an impact conscious company. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
It's wonderful. And I am a little jealous that you are in the state where my best friend lives, but that's okay. I'll come out there and we're gonna have a connection coffee in the near future. But you know, one of the things that caught my eye about what you do and where what you're going to be doing soon is that you have a new book coming out, and I know I've seen, you know, kind of photos of it, and your children and stuff are incorporated in that book. So tell us a little bit about where you are in the season of parenting before we dive in.
So I would say we are probably in the teen to young adult years. We have 5 kids, and they range from 12 to 22, believe it or not. I scratch my own head sometimes and wonder how that kind of time has gone by. But I have to say, it's definitely rewarding getting to this point too. Although, let me just put a caveat in there for any parents listening. If you think diapers are expensive, my goodness, wait until they get to be teenagers, because yes, it is not cheap.
You have got that down right. Absolutely. Yeah, we're similar ages. I have an 11-year-old and I have soon to be 18-year-old. So we're doing yes, all the firsts and lasts of senior year. You know, all those Excellent. First things. Yeah, we homeschool. So like, I just got the diploma in the mail the other day. So, you know, it was Sweet. Kind of like one of those exciting things. Yes. So your new book, it's called The Farm That Built Me. And I know that you had an author copy the other day, which is so exciting. So tell us a little bit about this book and where it manifested from, how long you wanted to write it, and what is your book about? Take us on a little trip.
So I'm going to start by saying I had the title for this book. I've had the title for this book probably 10 years. And the reason I say that is because we left the farm 10 years ago in 2010. And I didn't realize it at the time, what that time frame was and what it was meant to be, because by all intents and purposes, it appeared to be a massive failure. And so we left. I needed to give myself space and time, and I'll frame that a little bit for you here in just a minute. But we left and came back to Colorado. Our time in Southeast Kansas was about 4.5 years. And so we came from Colorado, went back to Colorado, kind of just had to reinvent who we were. And at the time, if my kids were 2 to 12 at that point, so that really looked different. It looked like second stage of life, this really big, you know, in my 30s, my husband in his late 30s, and we were just like, now what? Because prior to that, we had had a construction company, multiple 7 figures in our 20s, had done really well. And as that business trickled down a little bit, we decided to take up an opportunity to go farm 160 acres in Southeast Kansas on his grandfather's ranch. Here's the kicker, though. We had never farmed. None of us, my husband, myself, my father-in-law, who he visited us out there. He's from here, and that's where the property idea came from. But he was going to put cattle out there, and we had these grand visions and ideas, and we thought we knew what we were going to do. When we moved out there in 2006, we left a beautiful custom home in the mountains of Colorado, and I was 7 months pregnant with our fourth child. Moved in the middle of August of all times to move to Southeast Kansas. We didn't know, though, because we had been from Colorado. There's no humidity here. So going out to Southeast Kansas in August was kind of like a this brick wall of humidity and bugs and hot. And we wondered why nobody was ever playing out at the park with their kids. Well, you get out of the car, it's like 115 degrees with the heat. So we didn't understand the experience we were going to. And this book really frames kind of what that journey was. And so 10 years ago when we left to come back, and I'll let the book tell the story a little bit on the nuances and the pieces of that. But when we left to come back, I knew that it was going to be a story. But more importantly, I knew that it was going to be a very pivotal moment. I just couldn't see it because at the time, we needed to get back here, regroup, reprocess our lives, and figure out what was forward, what was next. That being said, in 2017, I started writing it. I finally felt a little bit of a moment to do so. And in the process of writing it, it was therapeutic to a degree, but I wasn't trying to write it for that reason. I just wanted to start documenting the stories as I remembered them that were fresh, that, even a few years later, they were still freshly my stories and very much a very instrumental period of time. What I didn't know when I started the book in 2017, I wrote two chapters and then I put it down because I was like, I literally have no idea where I'm going with this. But the name had always been there and the two chapters sat. So it was about this time last year. It was early 2020. Someone asked me something and I brought up a story of the farm and they said, why aren't you telling that story? And I was like, I actually forgot about it. I forgot about it and all the things I was doing and growing and pursuing entrepreneurial ventures, I forgot. And that catalyst stirred the pot and became my driving force to writing the book itself. Now, in writing the book, I don't know who's written a book in the audience, but at the same time, it doesn't matter because writing a book is part love and part because it's not an easy task, but it's something that needs to be told. And many of us know in our gut that we've got something that needs to come out. And there's so many different forms, media opportunities, media ways to do this. But a book was very instrumental because I was able to feel the freedom to put the stories in there as they transacted. And then I came back and said, okay, what was it I learned from this particular story? What can I share that's going to be beneficial for the audience that reads this to absolutely understand how to take this little bit of information they read about my life and be able to see themselves in it? I wanted it to be something where it wasn't just me telling a story, but it was me saying, you know what? This didn't turn out the way I wanted it to, or this turned out the way I wanted it to, or this is what I was looking for, but didn't know I needed, and be able to say, and this is what became of that. Here's how it is. So each chapter in the developmental process of this book, it made sense for me to open and close the loop instead of opening and opening and opening and letting it be a story, because this is not meant to be my memoir. It's meant to be something that takes people on a journey through the stories of experiencing sustainable farming.
I love it. It's so very similar to exactly how I felt when I was writing my book. I had read a different author who I love, but when I was reading her stuff, I kind of felt the same thing. Like I kind of felt like I needed more. I needed that closing of each loop. And so when I thought of my stories for all the things and the different layers and seasons of motherhood, I also do something similar, like put it back on the reader and bring the audience in and know, they weren't there when my daughter used, crazy glue when she thought it was lip gloss at two. True story. But I'm sure that there are things that they can think of that could have gone horribly, horribly wrong that didn't, and they're so grateful for, and then how, you know, what are the lessons that we learn? Like, what,
right.
where do we take those lessons and move forward? Well, that's truly amazing. And I think it's so cool too, that you step boldly into the farming world without really knowing what you were going to do. And I think a lot of people, especially now in the season that we're in after, you know, living differently for a year, people are thinking about, what if I did something different?
Mm-hmm.
What if I didn't just stay doing what I've always been doing? And there's amazing lessons to be learned in those seasons, even when you realize this isn't exactly what we thought. This is a lot harder than we thought. You
oh
know?
Gosh. Yeah. And there's so much to that, because even in part of this book, towards the tail end, as I'm kind of starting to wind it down, one of the chapters I even said that, you know, this is not your typical success story. And I understand that, but it's not intended to be, because it doesn't mean it's failure. It just means that these lessons were meant to teach me something. I just didn't know going through them everything it was that I needed to learn. And so being able to reflect back on them as I was writing this book was very interesting, to see that it wasn't for nothing. And I never considered it was for nothing. I couldn't connect those two dots. But, you know, trying to lead goats, for instance, when she has a, you know, when she's pregnant with a breech baby and there's a tornado warning that's going on and I don't know what to do and things like that, I'm thinking, all right, white dev, Google it real quick. Or, you know, and again, this wasn't even, I think we had dial up AOL at the time, but so it wasn't like it was a fast process to get answers, but able to really come back to say, okay, this is where we are. This is what we're doing. We took this on and we're going to do this. We're going to run with it. We're going to learn it. We're going to evolve with it. And we're always going to put our best foot forward. Every single thing that we did on that farm was to build a lifestyle for ourselves and our kids. But the problem was the foundation of it, the reasons for its non-existence at this point were ultimately out of our control and part of the demise. And so even in the lessons we learned, even in the experiences that we went through, we were able to say, if I need to step into being bold and being forward and taking control of my life and leading myself while I'm leading those that are in my charge, my kids, you know, my husband, you know, partnering with me in this leadership role of ourselves and our family. If I'm going to do that, then let's give it everything we've got, because no matter what we do, we're going to come in above never having tried at all.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. It's so powerful, because, you know, I think one of the things that people who start to write, and I was naive in this regard too. It's like, I had this story placed on my heart and I thought, okay, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to write this book, and that's what authors do, and I'm going to put it out there. And I had no idea the journey that I was starting by putting that first chapter down. I had no idea that this podcast was going to be built, that this, my, you know, platform and the journey of showing up strong and balancing your things. Like, mm-hmm. I just started with that first step. And I think that that's so important, is that no matter who you are and what you're doing, just being obedient to getting that story out there, like right. you said, because it's scary. It's scary to put your heart out there and put it on paper and like, let it fly like a little baby. And you're like, okay, here you go.
There's quite a vulnerability to that. In fact, when I got my author copy, because my husband, he hasn't read the manuscript digitally. And so he was excited, because he was like, oh, you know, I'm looking forward to reading that. And I was like, well, babe, that story about 52 is in here. And it's not a bad story. But he was just like, oh, well, did you say Joe's whole name? And I said, no, I didn't put Joe's name in there, but if Joe reads the book, he's going to know what story that is. And he chuckled. He's like, well, it's true. It's real. It happened. You know? So, I mean, it's kind of, it's things like that,
right.
where he was just, it was just kind of like, wow, now people are going to have this, and I'm not going to be able to control the narrative. I'm not going to be able to withhold the story or not. You know, I'm not going to be able to control the scenario that the conversation of my version of farm events, how it comes up, and that there's a vulnerability to that. There's a vulnerability to letting down the guard and saying, "This is my truth, and this is how it happened for me, and this is how I see it." And then we put it out there, and it's subject to discretion on other people's ends, and subject to people saying things or having an opinion about it. Even, you know, I have to be willing to say, "All right, well, when this is, you know, when this is available to be getting feedback on it, some people might not like it. They might not, and I have to be okay with that."
Yes, and that is painful. That is painful when you give someone, you know, your copy. I had an author when I was in public school. There was an author that I reached out to that my students wanted. They had read something that he had written, and they wanted to write to him. And he was a lovely author, Ben Michelson. He's written a lot of adolescent lit books, Touching Spirit Bear and Jungle Bones and a lot of different things, and he was so wonderful. And he, you know, emailed our kids right back. But so, I remember talking to him, and he spent like an hour and a half talking to me back. This was before I ever started writing the book that I've written, but I was working on this other manuscript that was a fiction, and I was kind of picking his brain. And he said the best thing to do is when you have it done, then take it to Office Max and print it off and bind it and give some, like, five of your best, you know, confidant friends, people that you know are not going to just tell you it's good, but give them post-it notes or give them highlighters and pens and let them just tear it to pieces. He goes, and then you'll know that you really want to do this, because it's, you know, you can't be in love with your first copy, you know. And that was kind of like, oh, yeah, okay. You know, so that's awesome. So let me ask you, you left the farm, you came back to Colorado, and how did you decide that you were going to do what you're doing now with business development and being a mentor and a strategist? How, where did that come from?
That was actually part of the evolution coming back. In my 30s, I want to make sure I frame this a little bit, was really my time to find out who I was, because I didn't quite know. I had been, you know, business partner in my 20s. I met my husband when I was just shy of 18. We got married at 20 and had our first kid at 21. And so I just moved into this life of, you know, business, being a partner of a decent sized corporation, and then, you know, growing a family, becoming the role of mom, becoming the role of wife, becoming the role of business partner. And in my 30s, it was really this kind of strange moment where I was like, I really, really don't know who I am specifically. And not that it bothered me or that it was something that I needed to answer, but it was just kind of this awakening point in my life, in the life cycle, where my kids are getting a little bit older. They weren't as needy. They weren't quite the toddlers anymore. You know, they're starting to move forward in the age progression and becoming independent to some degree. And I thought, well, this is interesting. I literally don't know. And in that process, I thought, all right, well, we're back in Colorado. We're starting all over. Truth be told, my husband and I, neither one of us had a college degree, because we built a business in our early 20s that was very successful. And so we're like, okay, so what do we do? You know, we had seed money, we had auctioned everything, sold the businesses, shut everything down, come back to Colorado. And my best option for me in my quest and thirst for self-education, you know, to progress who I am, continue my, you know, continuing challenging my thinking, challenging, you know, what I know, how can I apply it, what can I do, how do I contribute to the better good of the world, you know, all those things that run through our minds. So I went to college, started at a local community college here in the Front Range area while my kids were in their school times. And so I started down the road of determining, what do I want to learn? At first, I just enjoyed the gen ed classes, because it was very invigorating to put my mind to something other than what I thought was just creativity. So I was putting it in an academic manner, and I enjoyed my classes. I enjoyed that part of expanding my knowledge base, and I didn't know what I wanted to do with it though. So I got about 2 years in, and I still wouldn't declare what I wanted to learn. By default, I ended up going into accounting because it was that made the most sense. At this point, I was 35 years old. I needed to at least, I mean, I could have a degree and experience on top of it. You know, I could better those kids coming out at 22, 23 years old, doggone it. You know, I was just, that was my logical thinking at the time. And so I pursued accounting, and in the process, had this organic little bookkeeping business, operational accounting business start to grow on its own from a lot of solopreneurs that were just like, hey, can you help me know what to do with this? I don't even know what to do with this. So I was like, well, yeah, we were doing that for my company, our construction company. So anyways, move forward with helping them. This little business grew on its own, and I figured I'm gonna get a business coach. And this was back in I think 2013. I was like, I'm gonna be smart about this. I'm gonna get a business coach, and I'm gonna do this the right way and make something of this as I'm finishing school and getting through this business building phase. And I told my business coach, said, you know, I'm gonna be bored in 2 years. I know it. I just know it. And she's like, well, let's just accomplish this first, and then we can talk about that later. And I knew that was going to be the cycle because my creativity, I didn't know the power in what I was saying, but I just had this, I knew that I was going to say, something is not fitting here, because instinctively I already knew something was not fitting. I was trying to squelch my creativity. The door I cracked open on the farm, and the ability to have the freedom to build what I wanted to, defy the status quo. That's where that comes from in my bio. And to be able to say, just because I don't know how to do something doesn't hold me back from doing it. I yearned for that. And the accounting business and the accounting world, I had a sneaky suspicion that I was not going to do well just repeating the same process every month. However, I honed my KPI skills. You know, nobody be alarmed. It went to great use. But at the same time, I decided that in 2018, I really wanted to follow my creative passion and be a little bit more on the side of strategy, the side of talking about what's possible with entrepreneurs, and you know, being a part of that dream and that momentum phase of saying, oh my gosh, I think I can do this. Now, we all as entrepreneurs know that we have the ups and downs, and the ups and downs in a day. We're like, oh, we're doing this. No, we're not doing this. What am I doing? You know, how am I going to get there? You know, we know that those cycles are not just, you know, daily, weekly, yearly. They're in the moment as well. But in the possibility of letting people know as entrepreneurs, you actually can do this. Because I had done something like that on the farm, something I knew nothing of. And we did build a business out of it, and we did bring in income from it, and we did live sustainably in 4 years. Within 4 years, we managed to make those things happen. So I was like, I know if I put my mind to it, I can achieve it. I also know that if other entrepreneurs put their mind to it, they can do it. Let me combine the vision side of it, the creative side of it, and the strategic side of what it looks like to actually know what your numbers are telling you on the back end, so that we can make decisions that are prudent going forward. And so that's then, I didn't love the accounting world. It's necessary, and there are great, great, great people who absolutely love being in that industry, and they are so needed, so needed. But I needed to do something a little bit different, and so that's when I moved out into business strategy and really helping entrepreneurs and business owners grow their business in the directions they wanted to, instead of just helping them, you know, sift the numbers each month.
Yeah, because that's something, you know, that as a new entrepreneur in the space, in the creative space that I've been in over the last year, there's so many different aspects of it when you're building your brand.
Yes.
And really what I love is that basically you just had a yearning for learning. And you know, I was just talking to my kids about this yesterday, and we were watching a YouTube video that someone had forwarded me, and it's fascinating about the Grand Canyon and just really, really fascinating. And you know, they were kind of sitting there and like, you know, like, what's mom making us watch? And I was like, look, you have choices in this world. Like, you can either think about things and think critically about things and think deeply about things and ask questions and ponder, or you're just going to be like lemmings who just check off the boxes of what everybody else is telling you what to do.
Right.
What, who do you want to be?
Right.
You know, and my middle boy, he went to public school, and then when he was in fifth grade, we pulled him and put him back into Montessori school where I had started teaching. And so he still has friends in the public school. Now he's a freshman in high school, and we homeschool, and we have been. This is our third year, so it's not anything new to him. But the other day he said to me, Mom, I don't know if I'm learning as much as my friends. And I said, wait, what? I said, what do you mean? Well, they just have all this work they're doing all the time. They have all this homework all the time. And, you know, he was going on and on. And I said, no. I said, there is a difference between learning and doing work that other people are telling you you have to do
Yes.
to qualify it as that you've learned about something.
Exactly.
And I think that that's something that as adults, because of sadly the majority of traditional schooling, the way that it kind of like, kind of just like pushes the people together like cattle, like down a chute, you lose that love of learning. And that spark goes out. And then as an adult, you were kind of given a second chance for that with living on the farm and having to learn
Yes.
because that was how you were going to make an income for your family and how it was going to be sustainable. But I think too often people just think, oh, that's something that, you know, I wanted to learn how to build Lego castles when I was little and I figured it out. But now, you know, I've got to go, you know,
Right.
clock in and clock out.
Right.
And that's sad.
There's so much more.
It's
So
sad.
much more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The farm
Absolutely.
gave us an opportunity, really to, like you said, not have to worry about whether or not I was going to do it right or do it wrong. I was just having to do. And I didn't do it according to the conventional method out there. And there's a chapter in my book that discusses that where we kind of weren't accepted wholly because everybody out there was second and third generation farmers and ranchers. And I came in, I was just like, hey, we can do this, rotational paddocks, and we don't have to just run cow calf pairs and yearlings. We can have hogs and we can have chickens and we can have milk cows and steers. We can do all the things, and of course, people were just like, yeah, you're kind of crazy. And I just look and be like, well, you know what? It's all right. My name is too, so just chalk it all up together. Okay? Just let us do our thing and don't worry about it. You just don't worry. But at the end, I have to say this little bit isn't in the book, but we had an amazing large animal vet out there and he was dynamite. And he told me after at the end when I was selling off my dairy cows, we had three registered Jerseys and he was doing a check over for, the people buying it, giving them a good bill of health, so that they knew they were getting a well taken care of animal. And he told me, he said, White Dove, I have to hand it to you. I thought you were just going to be a bleeding heart from the city. And I said, yeah, I know. I knew you thought that. I said, but this was an operation and this was a working operation. And these animals I cared about, but every single one of them had a place here. And they had a season to be with us. And whatever that was, whatever it was meant to be, and how we set it up was going to be giving them, the animals, the most authentic life possible as they're meant to have. And that's what I wanted to do. And we did. And he was just like, you did it. He's like, you did it. But I didn't think you'd get this far with it. I said, yeah, that's all right. We did. So, I mean, it was neat to have kind of feedback from that, at the tail end and just give us a little bit of that reassurance that, it was noticed. You did something, even though it didn't work out exactly, like you planned. But I have to say, I definitely have to say that sustainable living, that sustainable lifestyle still calls me in the pit of my stomach. So I don't know what the future holds as far as that goes, but I can tell you, I already knocked out a bunch of the learning curve for it. So I know how not to do it going forward. Let's just say that.
Yeah, that just-in-time learning is really key, you know, because I know for me, I mean, I didn't know how to start a podcast. I didn't know how to do anything. I was like, okay, well, I guess we're YouTube and that, you know, just,
You
and that's what
do.
you do. You figure it out. You figure it out on the
That's
fly. You
right.
know, it's just like parenting, you know, it's, you didn't have the YouTube videos from like, you know, when you came home from the hospital with your first of your five, you have to
That's
walk that
right.
walk and you have to navigate it and you have to that pit of your stomach. And you know, I have some friends and they always wanted to have their own business. And I mean, for years they thought about having their own business and then they did it. And you know, we rallied behind them and it was an amazing business. It was really great in our community. And sadly, you know, it lasted, I think, about 3 years. And I remember telling her on the last day that their business, when it was closing, you know, there, I said to her, I said, you know, you had this dream and you did
Yes.
it. And there's so many people that have a dream and they're too afraid. They don't do it. They worry about what other people will think of them. And, you know, they worry about the validation of others. And I said, you did it, but you also got to see what it was like and the sacrifice,
Right.
you know, to have both of them have this small business. They had their boys were young at the time, like elementary. And even just things like not being able to have a family pet because they didn't have
Right.
time, you know? So, I mean, have there been like, I know the bittersweet part of leaving the farm, but was there a part of you that looks at the season that you have been in since leaving there and have embraced that, like that you've had more time, or what, you know, how have your, what have your children thought, the ones that were a little bit older when they left the farm?
It really instilled a lot of values. The farm experience itself couldn't not, you know, and not everybody's going to be able to experience that in their specifically or directly on a farm, but there are ways to do that, and there are opportunities to experience those life-changing moments. Even if you don't go into it trying to change your life, you go into it with a dream and a desire and really feeling the compelling need to follow that dream and desire. My kids, our kids at this point, have a sense of freedom to be able to dream. And that's the one thing that coming from that, I can say that yes, we dreamed it. Yes, we attempted it. Yes, we gave it a really good shot and we learned a lot of amazing things and had some really cool animals, and the experiences are second to none, literally. But at the same time, these kids were able to consider what it looks like to be entrepreneurial. They grew up in an entrepreneurial setting. They didn't know anything other than going out and doing chores with mom and dad. They didn't know anything other than getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning so we can make it to the farmer's market by six so that we can open our stall at 6:30. You know, I mean, they were just so built, brought into and grown into an entrepreneurial mindset that they don't see the opportunity to not dream. So, yes, do we have the time? Do we have a little bit more time freedom at this point? Sure. We're not tied to a farm to where we can't leave to go travel to my niece's wedding or something, which is something that we couldn't do when we were on the farm. We had no one to take care of the animals. You know, there was no way we missed out on a life event, you know, because of it. But there, do we have the freedom to do those things? Yes, we do. Do we have the freedom to navigate in and out of things because we don't have the responsibilities of making sure we're milking cows in the morning and closing chickens up at night and gathering eggs at night or whatever, or making sure that, you know, two rounds of feed are done during the day? Absolutely, we have that. But we still haven't, you know, the younger kids still feed the dog morning and evening. You know, they still have responsibilities that parallel that and give them the sense of responsibility. And also the sense of being able to dream about the possibility they could bring to the world with their gifts and their talents and who they are and the unique contribution that they have and that the difference that they can make. So in that process, in the journey, in the struggle, in the pain, in the triumphs and the rewards of all of that, they're able to see that life's going to go on. No matter what is happening, we can choose how to navigate through it. That is our choice at this point in time. So they do dream. We do get to do things. We get to do other things that we couldn't do on the farm, but we don't get to reap the rewards of having the farm animals to occupy our time or to make us laugh or, you know, to make us cry. You know, those things we don't have, but we have a little bit of time freedom over here that we get to talk about those stories and we get to talk about those times and we can share them with the younger kids. Jesse was only 2 when we left, so he doesn't remember as much of it, but Jake was 12 and he was like, remember when Adam, our second oldest, used to go out there and look for all the bugs under the rocks, and we'd laugh about it. And Jesse's like, why would Adam look for bugs under the rocks? You know? And so we have those conversations and they do get passed down and they do get shared, but they're memories. And memories are ultimately what we get to keep with us, whether we have a lot of time or we have a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. Those memories are what build us and create the foundation for the possibilities and the change that this world needs moving forward.
Absolutely. And you know, what I think is really powerful is that dreaming and that possibility, you know, with being an entrepreneur and with just saying, okay, hey, I'm going to publish this book or I'm going to do this, you know, my kids mm-hmm. also see that. And, you know, and then we talk about like, oh, they want to do this. And, you know, like last year, my son wanted to build his own computer PC for gaming. And so then he looked up how much it was going to cost. And I was like, okay, well, I don't have $600. So how are you going to earn that? How are you, what could you do? You know, what kind of service could you offer? And then he took off. I mean, he literally did it all. And I was like, I literally, all I saw was like, I saw him give me his cash. I made the transaction with the paper, with the plastic card. And the next thing I know, all the parts are coming to the house. They went down to the basement. All the cardboard came out of the basement. And now he has a working PC. And I'm like, well, that's pretty awesome.
Yes.
You know, but I wonder about like, had I not really just kind of embraced that entrepreneurial spirit, would that have been, you know, something that he would have even thought of? Now, some kids are just wired that way, you know, but I really think that when our children see us stepping boldly into something that isn't what the majority of people just choose from the buffet of life, you know, it's not what they normally are doing. It really does make a difference. The other night, my oldest, I don't know, he watched a TikTok video or something, and they showed the kind of butter that they make at like Longhorn mm-hmm, Steakhouse, mm-hmm. or, you know, I'm not a Longhorn Steakhouse. They're not my sponsor, but maybe they'll want to be after this. But anyway, it was some sort of like honey butter, and I'm a beekeeper. So he's like, Mom, you know, do you have any honey left from last season? I said, yeah. He goes, I saw this recipe for the cinnamon honey butter that they make, like when you put it in the rolls and stuff. And so he's like, I really want to try to make that. So I said, okay. So he did. And he made it. He was like, this is really good. And he's trying to save for a car. And he's like, you know, he's like all on his own. He's like, maybe I could make some of this honey butter with your, you know, Aunt Sibby's honey. And maybe I could sell some honey butter. And I said, well, your brother made these loaves of lemon loaf before, but maybe you do regular bread and you do just bread and butter and you do like a brother's, you know, bread bake off or something, and you just sell it and see how much, you know. And so just to be able to, like you said, to dream and to think of the possibilities of what could I do?
Yeah.
You know, what would be fun that other people would like? And it's so powerful. It's really, really powerful.
It is
powerful.
And it's one of the things that as parents, we should instill in our children the possibility to dream, that is something to give some of your time to, is to think of the possibilities of what could be. But also as adults, it's never too late to take on that characteristic. It's never too late to attempt to dream and see what could be. You know, we get to later stages in life sometimes and we wonder if it's really, you know, logical to do so. But it is, because there is a concept of feeling alive that comes with that dreaming. So even if listeners or anybody out there, for that matter, feels like, oh, well, maybe I'm too old to dream. No, you're not. You're not too old to dream. You're not too old to be an entrepreneur. You're not too old to wonder what could be. It always is available to us. We just have to reach out and grab it.
Yes, I absolutely believe that wholeheartedly. And there's a new song that's been on the radio playing that I love, and it's called "Say I Won't."
Yes.
And I can't tell you who the author the songwriter is, because I'm really bad. I'm lucky I even remember the title. But it's really good, because it's like, stepping boldly into and really just harnessing that and saying, you know what? Say I won't do it.
That's
Say I
right.
won't, because I'm gonna do
That's
it,
right.
you know? Well, I am so glad that you joined us today. As we wrap up, what are some nuggets, some closing thoughts that you want to leave in my listeners'
I
ears
really
today?
want to re-emphasize the possibility at any stage in life. And I mean, anybody listening, even right now, wondering, what could I do? Is there something I could do? There is. Just be on a quest to find it. Go ahead and allow yourself the opportunity to open the door and start learning those things, and never, never, never say you're too old to start something amazing. Because I didn't know how to milk a cow. Heck, I didn't even know how to buy a cow when I moved out to Kansas, and I was in my 20s, late 20s. And so even then, you can do it. If it's in your heart to write a book, write it. Start with a title, start with a chapter, start with a memory, start with a thought, anything. If there's a business idea, how can I make money off of doing this? Or is there a possibility I could do something that feels more purposeful, that generates enough to pay my bills or get a vacation? There is. There always, always is. You just have to want it and be aware and go seek it, because you will find the answers.
Our second season of All the Things with Kristen Schiller, and our guest today, White Dove Gannon. If you're interested in checking out her book, The Farm That Built Me, is available on Amazon and Walmart, and you can check it out there. Leading others by first leading yourself. I hope that you also were inspired, that it's never too late to start growing, it's never too late to start dreaming. This episode, and you felt it inspired you and encouraged you to try new things and help you balance your things to show up strong, please like and subscribe and share with others. And if you have input, I'd love to hear from you. You can give us some information and drop us some lines at kristenleeschiller.com.